let's start. Fantastic. Thanks for being here. We will spend the next 60 minutes, it's quite a lot actually, talking about making System Center fit for on-call services and for redefining on-call duty or extending System Center with capabilities to serve these poor chaps that are on call. And I don't know, who of you actually is in an enterprise where you have people on call in IT operations? So that's two-thirds, I would kind of estimate. So who of you is actually in that group, so in that team? So who has to be on call? You, okay. Okay, so you know what I'm talking about. You know what it means to be woken up at night, 4 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock. Kids crying, maybe, because they have to, they are woken up as well. We've been doing some quite extensive research, actually, on what it means to be on call, to come up with a good solution. And this is what I'm going to demonstrate and discuss today with you. So I'm Matt Sterek. I'm the co-founder and CEO of the company, which bears the same name. So it makes it very easy if you talk to me. And a few facts about our company. So if you haven't heard about it, we have been active in the System Center community for now, I would say, about really active for maybe like 3 to 4 years. And a few facts about our company before we dive into the matter more seriously. So we are an independent software vendor, so very classic ISV, so no consultancy, et cetera, et cetera. We have very nice partners who do that job for us. We were founded in 1999, so that's 15 years now. That's quite a long time for an IT software company. Our product is called Enterprise Alert, and it's about notification incident response. That's the only product we provide, and that's what we do. Try to make incident response as possible, as fast as possible, as reliable as possible, and as mobile as possible. So in the end, it's all about improving business continuity, right? That's why that's your concern. It's about making IT available on a 24/7 basis, and with minimum downtime, right? I mean, this is like almost everybody's talking about it, right? You know, you walk the show down there, and everybody's talking about zero downtime, almost zero downtime, you know, patch management, zero downtime, et cetera, et cetera. That's what it's all about, right? Because this is ubiquitous computing, and that's why it needs to be up all the time, and that's why you are in those on-call teams, right? So we got customers in over 50 countries. The majority of our customers is in the United States and Western Europe. And we are very much aligned to those big shots. So we are a member of the Microsoft System Center Alliance, the HP Enterprise Management Alliance Program, IBM Partner Program, Cisco Partner Program, ServiceNow Partner Program, et cetera, et cetera. So we're very much aligned because we have like something that is not like an MP to System Center, but it's a standalone product that is used in a variety of scenarios where IT and IT operations is only one. We are based out of Germany, Potsdam, close to Berlin, if you have been there already. I know a few of you have. We also have a subsidiary in the United States. Just a few facts about us. So what is our product vision? So what is what we do and what is the motivation behind what we provide? It's about enabling people to take smart decisions through software for intelligent, fast, reliable communication of vital information. That's those alerts that you receive when you are on call, right? And the product we provide to fulfill that is Enterprise Alert. It's an off-the-shelf product, right? You can download it from the internet. You can get a USB stick down there with a free edition of our software. You install it, you customize it as you like, you configure it, and it runs. It is basically a bridge between IT and telecoms, in a way, because it's notification software. But the idea is to automate not only things like patch management and things like that. Our idea is to automate communication processes, right? To remove human latencies from communication chains, right? Typical scenario, somebody sits in a 24/7 knock, a red dot blinking on one computer screen, he's taking the phone, he's looking who's on call in an Excel sheet, he's then trying to reach that person and so on, you know? And the more critical this kind of situation is, the more painful this kind of manual calling is, of course. Because very often these people in the data center, their job is not to call others, but is to solve problems, right? So, and this is just one example where human latencies kick into those communication workflows. And this is what we're trying to achieve, to fully automate those workflows, to mobilize people, to have really like a mobile IT operations experience, yeah, mobile incident management capabilities. If we have a look into typical 24/7 operations, there are very specific user needs that are different from what you find in your day-to-day 9x5 operations. You know, everybody's there in the office, everybody has access to the computer console, everybody has access to SCORM service manager on the screen, and so on and so forth. If you're at home, or if you're on call in a supermarket, it's a completely different situation. You are just paying your supermarket purchases, right? Kids are crying, and then your phone rings. You're on call, right? So what you do? You know, you cannot just put your notebook in front of the cashier and start logging into the SCORM console. That's not possible, right? So there are very specific user needs that go even deeper. And in general, the overall motivation for 24/7 operations that are supported by on-call is a cost factor, right? Of course, you could have like a 24/7 network operations center with people sitting there all the time, being bored, waiting for red dots blinking. Well, why should you do that? It's a huge cost overhead. And so there's a general trend that is, of course, also propelled by solutions we provide, that people move away from 24/7 staffing of network operations center, but go to a 9x5 regime plus on call. Because it's a lot cheaper actually to do that, right? And it's less painful. You know, at least you can sleep in your bed if you are an on-call person until something happens, instead of sitting in front of the screen all the time during the whole night, right? So it's more convenient. Still, it's kind of inconvenient to being on call, right? So there are very specific user needs in those 24/7 operations scenario, and first of all, it's more coming from the company perspective, and that is planning. So how do you plan on call? I mean, the majority of users we know have been doing it or had been doing it using Microsoft Excel, right? Or some kind of standalone planning tools. If they are lucky, they have an SAP system, they can do some on-call planning there as well, right? But the idea is it needs to be integrated, because if you want to automate those notification processes, the notification system needs to have access to those information automatically, right? So it needs to know who's on call when something happens. So it cannot look into an Excel. I mean, I'm sure there are some MVPs who can script it, right? But that's probably not the idea, right? So it's about easy and integrated planning. It's about the supermarket example. It's about mobility and incident management. You want to be able to respond, acknowledge incidents, even possibly work on incidents wherever you are. And that is the reason why we have that beach theme on our booth, you know, wherever you are, on call, you can still work and solve your problems. And that is the most important one. You need a 100% reliable notification. Because if you're on call and nobody's in the NOC, nobody's in the NOC, then this person needs to wake up, right? So reliability is absolutely important. And that not necessarily goes for like sending a text message and making sure that text message is received on the phone. No, it is even more. It's about making sure that that person wakes up and responds. You know, that is the trick. And if we look at systems like built-in capabilities of SCORM, for instance, this is like fire and hope. You know, it's like sending an email and you have no idea whatsoever if it gets delivered or not. And that's why you need something else. And you need this 100% reliability from the company perspective, from the user perspective. So the people you serve, actually, right? Because they need your systems available. And also from the on-call person's perspective. Because it's nice to sleep through that kind of outage, But in the end, it backfires. So next morning, you probably get killed. And then you try to blame it on the system. And, you know, so kind of finger pointing. So this 100% reliability is important. But then from the on-call person perspective, it's about filtering out the noise, cutting through the noise. You know, you don't want to have those minor alerts from SCOM. You don't want to have the same alert 100 times in a row. You don't want to receive like 100 phone calls pending in your phone queue or 200 SMS text messages because something major happened in your data center, right? So it's absolutely important that you have a very granular system of filtering out what's really relevant, because you just want to be woken up if there's something really, really bad happening, and not if there's like a ping loss or a delay in a ping, you know? That's the point. And above all, you want to make sure, and your company wants to make sure, that there's immediate action taken, right? So these are just a few needs that are relevant in those 24/7 on-call scenario. And it is a very specific scenario in IT, because it's usually after business hours. In other areas we are working in, this kind of on-call operations is even sometimes much more important. It goes throughout the whole day. Let's take a utility, power, or gas distribution scenario where you have service technicians running around driving in cars, right? And for them, it's like an throughout the whole day kind of dispatching, reliability needed, et cetera, et cetera. Luckily, in IT, it's just through the night and through the weekends and holidays. So what does Microsoft System Center do to support those scenarios? And the answer is not very much. And that's why there are various kind of, you know, kind of MPs or ideas how to support those 24/7 on-call scenarios, all those nightly after business hour on-call scenarios. And just to give you one example, there's the neighbors that have down there, Stefan and Formatic, have developed some kind of scheduling management MP where you can say, okay, don't monitor this during the night. It's a kind of approach, actually, to prevent noise during the night. And we're taking a different approach, but, I mean, this is a problem, right? Getting all those nightly notification floods. So what we're trying to do is making System Center ready for those on-call services. And there's a problem. There's a couple of things that are missing in System Center. I know, you know, the subscriptions in SCOM, for instance. I mean, email works somehow. You know, that's nice. You can use that. But how relevant or how reliable is email during the night to wake you up? Text works somehow, but the best practice in on-call is voice calls, right? It's a combination of text, voice calls, to make sure that somebody responds and somebody gets the message. It's maybe even repetitive voice calls until you acknowledge. And this is not what SCOM provides. SCOM doesn't have any sense of acknowledgement or escalations in terms of seeing, actually, upon a delivery of a message, you reply back, and SCOM says, yes, this guy took over. It's not there with those subscriptions. It's some sort of acknowledgement possible in Service Manager, yes, but only if you log onto the console and say, yes, I'm doing it, right? Well, it's no way that you can actually press a button on your phone and say, yes, that's my incident now. So it's kind of, it's not fire and forget, it's fire and hope. I recently learned that fire and forget is something else. So you don't have any on-call management in SCOM. You have those timely kind of assignment where you can say, okay, this alert during that time of a day in those subscriptions, you can configure that, but it's not a good, decent way of actually doing that. You have not really intelligent notifications, meaning that you cannot wait for auto recovery. You cannot have like a very intelligent distributions and escalation mechanism. So there's a lot missing. There's no true mobility. I mean, there are some kind of tools you can get from others to kind of browse alerts in SCOM on an HTML5 web page. So there are some vendors that do that, but it doesn't come with Microsoft System Center. You don't have any, you can't do anything actually to remediate problems while you're on the go at the supermarket. There's no way without your notebook actually to do anything, right? And that's also something that we think that is missing. And you have no tracking, no sense of ownership of incidents, alerts, you know, until somebody really goes to the console and does something. And above all, no guaranteed delivery of alerts and messages. Those subscriptions are just one way firing, and that's it. So that is where we come in and where we enhance System Center. So more channels. So the whole breadth of channels, voice calls with text-to-speech, etc., instant messaging, integration with Link, exchange integration, even paging and text messaging in various forms. So all kind of, and push notifications of all, of course, and all kinds of notification channels and all combined. Notifications with acknowledgement. So at any given time, you know actually if a message was delivered, when it was received on the phone, and if somebody responded. Manual and automated on-call notification, meaning that the system will find out for you based on the plan you created who's on call and will automatically redirect those incident or incident or alert notifications to the person on call, fully automatically. So no browsing through Excel files or any printed paper or looking up like a printed on-call schedule. It's all automated. Aggregation and workflow orchestration, that's very important. So you can really also, in Enterprise Alert, from multiple systems, digest information and orchestrate that according to your needs, meaning that you can determine which information should go to whom and when. So for instance, in Enterprise Alert, what you can do is you can say, okay, this specific kind of alert for this specific group and with this severity goes to me or to the on-call person or to the 9x5 team, but not during the night, only in the next morning when the standard business hours start, right? Because we have very often scenarios where the users say, well, we would need that information that something happened and we would need that notification, but please not during the night. Please send it in the morning when the business hours start. And that is something Enterprise Alert can do. So we get also mobile apps, native mobile apps for iOS, Android, and the advantage. So why mobile apps? You know, you could do an HTML5. Mobile apps are important to leverage all the capabilities you have in the phone, obviously. So push notifications, for instance, executing specific tasks, using location-based data, etc. So you can somehow do that also through browsing. But we found that native apps are a lot more powerful in actually providing a good user experience. We will see that in a minute. Remote actions, something we added. So what we do is actually, you from your smartphone can execute Runbooks and Orchestrator, and also some Windows Task Scheduler jobs, and also, of course, later on PowerShell scripts. So this is important because it gives you the option in the supermarket to directly restart a service, restart a VM, scale up a VM pool, or whatever you want to do. All that is in Orchestrator, you can actually provision to be available on your users' phones, on your on-call people phones. And real-time tracking, auditability, very important, you know. You can actually, every single message, notification message that is sent is tracked. And at any time later, you can actually see the workflow, see who responded, when he responded, etc. So we also have a union-friendly version, where it's not that kind of granular. But it's very important, this kind of auditability, depending on which business you are in, like in the chemical industry, etc., those response information and workflows are very important. And of course, reliability. So we have something like a, not only like a channel failover, so that we can say, okay, if let's say Swisscom network is not available in Basel, I switch to Orange in France for texting, right? But also like if the SMS text message fails, you switch to voice. Or you try instant message first, then text, then voice. So not only like a failover in terms of the same channel, but also kind of channel multimodal communication, basically, right? And that also goes for the system itself, because a notification system, from our perspective, has to be the last system standing. So that means Enterprise Alert, of course, is like available in cluster mode, etc. fantastic overview, so you have to put out your glasses and read this kind of summary. Yeah, but there's a lot more actually compared to SCORM, not only this kind of channels and delivery modes and everything, but things like duplicate suppression. There's something that, for instance, we are very much kind of proud of, is this kind of notification criteria. So we can dig through the groups in SCORM, and we can basically redirect notification or alert notifications or deliver alerts to people based on that group kind of hierarchy you have in System Center Operations Manager, which, per my knowledge, is not possible with SCORM. But we can do that in our software. We have those escalation methods, which are not like only coworker escalations, but also hierarchical. That means that if the whole entire on-call support team fails to respond within a certain time frame, we can automatically escalate up into higher ranks, meaning team leaders, etc., etc. We even can keep team leaders up to date in what's going on. So we can say for specific incidents and alerts, we inform team leaders that there is something and that there's somebody taking care of that specific incident. And like a team leader, for instance, can also like use the smart app to see what's actually going on in terms of incidents and so on and so forth. Right? As I mentioned, we have this delay of less critical alerts to next business hours. And we have that kind of auto recovery. That means that if like an alert pops up in System Center Operations Manager, but 2 minutes later it disappears again because of a self-healing process, you can configure our system to wait, let's say, 3 minutes if it really starts a notification process, until it really starts a notification process. That is also an option, basically, to reduce the noise, right? So you have that kind of delay. Right. So the general idea of our product is really like a closed loop. So starting from those enterprise systems, let it be IT, manufacturing, facility management, incidents and alerts and events are investigated and then communicated through multimodal communication to different type of teams. And these teams have the option to basically say, okay, I'm taking over, or I forward to the next person or whatsoever, and then even take remediation options to solve the problem from wherever they are. So it's like a full closed loop cycle of handling incidents and a mobile cycle, meaning that you can literally be wherever you are. At least that's our final vision. We're not entirely there yet, but we're working on that. So the enterprise alert system, the idea really is to partly investigate those events. You know, you can do that. I mean, the idea how we connect to SCORM is that we have like a third-party product connector, and you build a subscription to forward events. You can certainly already filter in SCORM, but you don't have to. You can also leave that all in the hand of our system, and then we decide based on criteria. So we look into all the different parameters of a SCORM alert or a System Center Service Manager incident, and we can actually identify if we have to start a notification process. So we look into the relevance, severity, content. We can apply flood protection. Then we actually identify who to notify based on responsibility maps, availability, location, on-call schedules, even skills and organizational units, because we also sync with the Active Directory, of course. So all the users, you know, we keep in sync from the AD. Then we determine based on those factors how to notify those people. So is this something you can send via email? Is it something that needs like a voice call? Is it something that you would like to deliver through the user's preferred notification sequence? Then, of course, when, what time of the day, there are organizational requirements or schedule information. Then the dynamic assembly of the content, so we can reuse parameters from SCORM or Service Manager, add free text. You know, you receive that on a phone, for instance, with text to speech. Sorry, and then the next part is this really persistent notification, and in the end, the mobile response. So this is how we imagine the development. So first of all, I mean, there are still customers out there that don't have any IT monitoring at all, right? So the next is then monitoring 9x5 or 24/7 Knox. And then the freedom, the free homo sapiens, you know, just with his mobile, being able to, you know, work from wherever he would like. This is a typical setup of, you know, how Enterprise Alert embeds into your environments. So there's this kind of application server farm, for instance. You have different systems. You have System Center Operations Manager for monitoring, System Center Service Manager and Orchestrator, of course. It really depends on how you play it. You know, we have customers that say, okay, everything goes into Service Manager, and from there we decide which needs to be communicated. We have customers that say, no, certain incidents need to go through Enterprise Alert directly, and only specific ones go here to Service Manager. Others say, Service Manager, and it's like the manual tool, you know, the really important ones go directly, and all important ones go directly to Enterprise Alert. There are different ways of actually playing it, because we have connectors to all three systems. We can actually adapt to the specific situation in that enterprise. And then we have Enterprise Alert as a central notification and alarm system, which is connected to your Active Directory for mainly for user sync and group sync, but of course also for features like single sign-on and security. We're using a Microsoft SQL database to store information about events, notification workflows, and so on and so forth. And then we use the existing communication infrastructure, meaning that we can actually hook into your voice over IP system, let it be an Avaya, Siemens, or whatever you have in place, right? We use voice over IP SIP trunking, or we can connect to a Link server, for instance. Actually, to do voice calling for SMS text, we can use 3G GSM boxes or service providers, with the disadvantage of those guys being on the internet. So if your internet connection fails, you won't be able to send text messages. For mail, we can use a direct SMTP with DNS, or we can actually use an existing exchange server, which again is another point of failure. That's why it's not always recommended. An Enterprise Alert, as I said, of course, in a redundant configuration or even a pool. And then you have different user groups, right? So of course you have those IT service people on call, but you might also even have users, right? From Enterprise Alert, you can proactively trigger notifications to like your whole user base. Just imagine your Exchange server goes down, you receive a notification that something is going on, you look into the problem, you say, oh, that's bad. Needs 2 hours at least. So you can send a Link notification message to all your user base, very cost effective, doesn't cost you a lot, through Enterprise Alert, and tell them, hey guys, we have an Exchange problem, we know about it, we're working on it, and it will probably take 2 hours. The benefit of that is that almost nobody will call you. Well, if you don't do that, you know, of 2,000, probably 1,000 will call you, or maybe 200. You know, the others will just say, we'll talk about, oh, is your Outlook not working? No, mine's not working, and so on and so forth. So you use an enormous amount of productivity. And with proactive user notifications, you can inform them. And of course, you can inform them also that the system is up and running again. That's a capability Enterprise Alert can provide as well. And last but not least, management. So if within 2 hours you still haven't fixed the internet connection, it's probably good to let management know about it, if not even earlier. So there are different groups Enterprise Alert can, of course, address. And for some of you that are already familiar with Enterprise Alert, just a few information before I dive into the demo. So at Tech at Barcelona, as it looks, I'm going to reveal the next release of Enterprise Alert. We're going to have full Azure compliance, so you can run Enterprise Alert on an Azure virtual machine in the cloud, right, by end of October. And we will launch a cloud version of Enterprise Alert by end of 2014 for just the ones that are already familiar with the product. So, and actually, we have a free version of Enterprise Alert down there at our booth, or even here, right? So you can test drive it, compliant with a full System Center stack. Doesn't work with other, like HP, et cetera, but with the System Center stack, it works. And it's entirely free, but it's limited to users. So it's good for trialing, but not necessarily for productive use. Now, let's really have a look how it works. Enough talking. So, let me just see. Oh no, I have a screen here, so I don't have to do the same like at the booth. So this is the main console of Enterprise Alert, and let me me just, I'm also pulling here a little mobile phone screen so that you can do what I'm doing, that you can see what I'm doing. And I'm going to kind of simulate how Enterparcelet works. But first of all, let's have a look at here this Who's on Call overview, which actually can be integrated into, for instance, Microsoft SharePoint. And you see that there are a lot of demo teams here, quite a lot actually. And this is the demo printing team, which is you know, using SCORM for monitoring. And our friend John Doe is on call. He doesn't have agreed to populate any of his numbers, so that's why we don't see anything. But here, for instance, in this team, we can actually see numbers, so we can directly from here send an email. If we press here, it will pop up, or it will start Outlook on the other desk. Anyway, so and then if we go back to the overview and we have a look at our on-call schedules, because I promised you that we have a very good system actually of doing on-call planning. This is how it looks, right? And today it's 18th of September, and John Doe is on call, and me, Mattis, I'm backup. I can even define a stand-in and say, oh no, I have to go to the doctor's, or I'm kind of sick. So, oh, sorry, that was wrong. Sorry for that delete. That was nonsense. Backup is defined here. Stand-in is defined here, so I can say, okay, Ronald, please. Take over from 2 o'clock for 1 hour, please, or I have to go for a run. So now Ronald will take over starting at 2. So this is basically how you plan. You have a year overview, and you can actually say, okay, Matt, then John again. And you can sit together in a team. Then Doreen, she has to be on call as well. Sit together in a team and do that, right? So you can even get notified about, you know, gaps in the schedules, and you can say if team members shall define stand-ins, you can define holidays. That's so this is not many holidays for this team here, but at least Christmas. I'm being nice. So it's now holidays on Christmas. You can actually export it as a PDF, and you can even on your mobile phone, you can populate a link, a public link, and you can put your on-call calendar, your personal on-call calendar on your iPhone, for instance, or even into Outlook. So that's very easy. So if I'm log in here as a user, I have my on-call calendar, and I see all the teams I'm member of, and I see here that I'm here, obviously, demo printing team backup, and if I like, I can actually, you know, add that calendar to Microsoft Outlook. So I have that on-call calendar in Outlook. Or any other system. So, and that's the primary method actually of doing on-call planning. In the next release, we're also going to have something like auto rotation, so you can basically with one mouse click plan a whole year, right? So it auto rotates throughout the whole year. And this is something that is coming up as well. So we put a lot of effort in making this kind of planning very convenient, right? And it's exportable. It is in a database. Which is important, because it means that that it can be integrated with other systems like SAP, for instance. You know, we have customers that use our on-call data for like salary processing purposes. So they know how much time people spend on call, how many hours they were standby, because your salary is calculated on that basis through SAP. We have a connection to SAP and kind of sync the data back and forth. So this is the principle of how this works with the on-call planning, so the base principle. And what I'm going and there are some additional settings that you need to know, on-call times. So you can say on-call is 24/7, there's a duty handover, and on public holiday I use a regular on-call times, but I can also say, okay, I define specific times. I would say, okay, Monday from 6 p.m. till Tuesday 9 a.m. and so on and so forth. So I can not say it's a 24/7, but it's a typical after business hours on call schedule And that's, of course, because most companies do not have like on 24/7 regime, but rather have during out of business hours their on-call services. And that's the way how you define it. Right. But for our example, we stick to the 24/7 regime. So what I'm going to do now is I'm actually going to project my screen, and I'm going to show you how we. Now you know my PIN. Don't give you my phone. So Enterprise Alert is here on the phone, and this is like the Windows Phone version. And there's one acknowledged alert. Let me just quickly see what that is. Sorry. Was that a crash? No. This is the first time that ever happened. I can promise you that's the first time that ever happened. Let me just quickly see if I still have the internet connection. Yeah, this looks good. Okay, so there's no alert, so it updated it. So what I'm going to do is I'm actually simulating a problem. So from my smartphone, you can already see a lot of what we call remote actions. And there's one which stops the spooler. I'm using this one. And it stops the spooler on a specific host. And this is now going into Orchestrator. It's a runbook that has been provisioned to my account in Enterprise Alert, so I'm allowed to do that. And it uses a remote PIN feature, so that you have to have an additional PIN actually to execute runbooks. It's not based on a token. That is something that we're considering as well, so that you get a one-time token to execute runbooks, because that, of course, is indeed a security feature, as you can imagine. Executing runbooks from the outside world, your security people will love it. But we do have a number of customers that use it quite frequently. So what's going to happen now is that Enterprise Alert, or first of all, SCOM will pick up the alert, and then Enterprise Alert will basically reflect what happened in SCOM, because we forward all alerts that pop up in SCOM here to Enterprise Alert. I'm just looking. In SCOM we have that already, so you can't see that screen, unfortunately. And now Enterprise Alert will pick that up and will show up a new alert, and then it will start a notification process. And takes a minute or two. We have to find a certain polling interval, and then we will see a new alert. And Enterprise Alert will look up for. In this particular case, we can have a look at the policy a little bit later. We'll look up the person who is on call or the team, and then it will start sending out notifications. So this is the workflow. So this is a critical alert coming here from SCOM. So not resolved yet. Some data. You know, a time to respond, so like a timeout you can actually set. And here already we have received a push notification on the mobile phone. As you can see, the system first tried to send a voice call to John Doe, but he never picks up, right? So in the next step, it sent me an instant message, but I'm currently not online in that instant messaging system, so it sent me a push notification. You see the difference. The push notification is green. That means the system knows that it was delivered in real time, and it knows that I have, or at least my phone has received it. That doesn't mean I'm actually waking up now, you know? It's still very cozy in my bed, and the teddy bear is nice, and so I'm staying in my bed, don't hearing it. So the system will now, based on my personal notification profile, go further in the chain and will send me a text message, right? So this is here what happens now. So as you can tell, there's a little kind of countdown here, and now it sent me a text message. And if we bring that back, we will see if a text message arrives, and the system knows if and when. But obviously, it's a long way from Germany to Switzerland. It takes some time. But the good thing is, you know, there are still some other channels the system can try. You know, there are still two voice calls left, and if the text message doesn't arrive, or if I don't respond, it will automatically switch to the next channel. which will be a voice call based on my personal profile, because that particular alert policy uses my profile I can configure, right? Which is important because we think the users know best how to reach them. And you can even say, like, okay, over the weekend, this week I'm staying with my grandma, and that's why please call the home phone of my grandma, because she can't sleep anyway, she will wake me up. So now it starts sending out a voice call, and that should probably arrive, because the SMS message is still somehow pending in the network. And here we go. So I can answer that call, put it on speaker.
Enterprise alert is speaking. Please press 1.
So I basically need to say, yes, I'm awake. It's a mailbox check.
The principal alert service on Sky is no longer running. Press 1 to acknowledge the alert with ID 786.
Okay.
To decline,
that's what
two.
I'm going to do, and you will see in...
You have acknowledged the alert with ID 786.
And you see that in the software immediately, right? So, and this acknowledgement now is reflected throughout all the systems. So that means it goes back into SCOM, and in SCOM, just wondering, any idea if you can actually transfer? Yes, fantastic. Great, isn't that amazing? So that's the owner. So that's my AD account, right? So, and status is set to acknowledged, right? Just by pressing button on my phone. Isn't that amazing? No, anyway. Okay, but that's the idea. So we now have that acknowledgement, and we have that ownership, which is important. And the next step, of course, would be that I'm now trying to solve that problem. And I can do that, luckily, because I have an option to start a Prinzbühler, right? Actually, that might be interesting. These remote actions, you can actually kind of configure and populate. So depending on the parameters you have in your orchestrator runbook, those parameters will show up in this form on your mobile phone, right? So it's really dynamic. So I'm going to start that Prinzbühler again, and this will mean that this alert here, which is acknowledged, will be closed. It will be closed because SCOM realizes that the Prinzbühler is running again, and that's why it will close the corresponding alert, and that will close our alert and our incident. And if there would be like an ongoing workflow, that would be stopped, and a team manager, for instance, would be notified about the resolution of that specific incident. So that's now finished. And actually, that the same is happening here in the console of that mobile phone, right? So if I refresh that, it's now under acknowledged, and once it disappeared here, it will also disappear on my mobile phone. So it's sync across everything, basically, right? So once SCOM has realized that the service is up and the Windows service is up and running again as Prinzbühler, that's it. Now you've seen it on the phone, it's gone, it's under closed, and the same here, and the same in SCOM. So that is the kind of basic principle of what our software does. As I said, there is a lot more in terms of, you know, intelligence of communication, and we can certainly have a quick look on how we actually tie together events that are coming from the outside world with notification workflows here in our system. So if we have a look at this particular, these are alert policies, so they determine how events are linked together with teams or communicated to teams. And in this particular example, as I said, we're addressing a team with an on-call scheme or regime. So we say, okay, this is a demo printing team, SCOM, and please use the on-call schedule. We could also say, okay, do a team broadcast and do that only during the team's business hours, for instance. And that means that during business hours, alerts would be communicated. Or you could say, okay, open alerts or send alerts also during business hours. If they happened during the night, please start sending them out in the morning when business hours starts. So we have a variety of options here We can escalate to the team manager, as we said. In the conditions, we can actually access all parameters in this example of SCOM. So all alert parameters that are available in SCOM, we can access and use for filtering and for determining who gets which alert, right? And as I said, so you see that management group RJ is alert, and here the famous SCOM groups. And yeah, and then you can look for certain parameters. And we have a duplicate suppression with exceptions. We can say wait for auto recovery for 3 minutes, for instance, things like that, that make that system very very suitable and useful for those on-call scenarios. You can use choose a certain notification profile or do voice calls right away. You can set an acknowledgement timeout. You can say you repeat the alert until it is acknowledged. That means you would actually, for instance, if you have an escalation chain, you rotate through that chain. If nobody responded from that escalation chain, it will start from the beginning and so on and so forth until somebody acknowledges. And here in the message compilation, you can actually reuse parameters of SCOM or add free text, whatever you want, right, in order to have a decent message that goes out. You can even attach pictures or, you know, smileys or what you want. Or even let's say voice, for instance, clippings. So there's a lot in that product. And if we look at those remote actions I mentioned in combination with System Center Orchestrator, if we have a look at our print spooler, so you see there's quite a lot. Here we go. So it's a stop sprint spooler. And so it means execute from the smart app. It also says you can execute it based on an incoming message. So that means you can text the system in order to start a service. Or you can do a voice call and call it and execute a service. So it doesn't have to be necessarily a smartphone app. Although the smartphone app makes a lot more sense. And as I said, so we support HP Service Manager, System Center Orchestrator, Windows Task Scheduler, and in the coming versions also Windows PowerShell. And then the action actually is here as a runbook. So as you can see, right, you have access to all the runbooks in Orchestrator here in our scenario. And then the parameters that are coming from that runbook, you can actually add here. So it will display the parameters, and if there's a parameter in the runbook, that means that it will be put on the form dynamically you see on your smartphone. So if you create a new runbook or you extend your runbook by certain parameters, those parameters will show up here. You can even do something like a selection box, right? So if you enter multiple parameters here, it will bring you like a list control on your smartphone. So like a pre-selection of features. I'm just think I do have something like that here as well. Yeah, so there maybe this one is interesting because that is a service manager example here. So that is a runbook incident create. And here, if we click critical, you see that we have pre-populated certain things here that are a match in Service Manager. So that's the idea of this app. And as I said, it's available on all platforms, iOS, Android, Windows Phone, BlackBerry, even BlackBerry Z10. And so we're continuously developing that and adding more and more features. Tech at Barcelona will bring an update on the overall software. So it will look like quite different. Some here in the room have seen it already because they're privileged partners. So that's for my demo. I'm now open to any questions you might have, anything you would like to see that is still unclear, anything on, you know, what we might envision for the future or customers we do have, or I mean, to give you some examples, that's probably important as well. I mean, this is quite an advanced and sophisticated system, right? So a typical customer of that solution would be like a large account. So the more people on call you have, the more benefit. Or if you have like a structured on call, yeah, where you really have like at least 4 or 5 people in a rotating manner, 9x5 plus on call regime, or you have 40 people or 300, or you have distributed environments where you are like a multinational company and you have teams in Singapore, in Munich, and in London, and so on and so forth. Then, of course, such a system makes a lot of sense, right? And also in terms of its sophistication, et cetera, et cetera. So the typical accounts we would have are relatively large industrial customers. So as we are mainly a German company, we have, of course, a lot of automotive companies as our customers, like Daimler or Porsche or BMW. And so that would be typical customers. Which also not only in manufacturing, but also have run a decent IT with a 24/7 uptime requirement. Of course, if it is IT that is related to manufacturing, 24/7 manufacturing, then of course you would need that 24/7 uptime regime. The same goes for organizations that are kind of internationally distributed and have international customers, so like SAP or eBay, who run huge data centers. And that need that 24/7 availability as well, because they serve customers internationally. Of course, then they decide for a product like Enterprise Alert. Of course, that's sometimes important to understand, because you might see, well, this is a lot, and you know, if there would be like a little tweak to the SCOM notifications, that would be perfect for me. But this product really has a huge impact on large organizations in a positive way, managing their on calls, making people more happy with makes the feelings a little bit more nicer when you go on call, right? And it helps organizations to do convenient planning and creating that kind of reliability for their on-call teams, and their reliability and guaranteed response to critical problems during the night, et cetera, et cetera. That's maybe for you to understand what our typical customers are. We also have like features that I haven't demoed here, like this emergency call out, right? So we have features that enable you by a simple click of a button to start out broadcast mass notifications to enterprises or to crisis teams with voice conferencing. We're also going to have a feature launched in Barcelona where you can actually call a central number and you will be automatically redirected to an on-call person. Right? You don't know who's on call, but you just call that number and then it automatically redirects you. And the person who's on call still has the option to say, no, I don't want to speak to that chap because he bugs me all the time. No, but because we can identify who calls you, so we tell you, okay, this number called, or it's Mathis again, you know. But we have that functionality coming soon, that you have voice transfer, which is very convenient because a lot of companies really rely on voice communications if there are critical incidents. So they need to have a kind of voice transfer feature. So we will enrich on call with voice conferencing and voice transfer, so that you don't have to rely on a console or sending an email to an on-call person. That goes for peer-to-peer communication, but not for the automation for incidents coming from SCOM. Okay, any questions from your side? Sorry for talking again.
How open is the system in terms of, say, I have a ticketing system that is somehow executing its stuff in an SQL database or so? Is it possible to include it to Enterprise Alert easily?
Because like it's a standalone product, and it's kind of enriching a lot of enterprise systems, we have various options of how we can integrate. First of all, we have a range of open APIs. So beyond system centers, smart connectors, which are relatively easy to configure, we have like an integrated SMTP server. We have a web service API. We have a customizable web service SDK. We have, of course, SOAP interface goes with that. We have command line interface. So
okay.
RS-232 So a huge number of interfaces which help you to throw events on us. So we can literally connect to any system, computer associates, WhatsApp, Nagios, and this is what you typically find in customers, like a heterogeneous environment. And on the backside, we can also, let's say, if something happens in our software, like an acknowledgement comes in, we have a scripting engine, which we can use to kind of transfer it to other systems. So whatever happens in our system, we can also then put into different directions. Yes. Okay, anything else? Yeah, I'm not entirely sure if we can actually do it by management pack, but groups definitely, and it all goes back. It all goes back to those parameters we are getting. I try to show different in a different way. Let me just quickly see. So here. So this is incoming events, and it tells you which policy was triggered. And if we have a look, so this is basically what we see and what we get from SCOM, right? So these are all the data we are receiving. We are basically able to extend that because we're using the connector SDK, and we can do a lot with that. For instance, this kind of groups here, this hierarchical order of where the specific entity belongs to, right? That is something our connector does at runtime. And so this is basically all the information we receive, and as you can see. And with that information, we can then build those filters, right? So we can do logical AND, logical ORs, groups of ORs and ENDs, and so on and so forth. So we can really drill down and really decide based on all those information. For instance, we would say, does this alert or does groups of this alert contain PAI, for instance, right? And if the case, then redirect it to team ABC. That's exactly the way it works. Yeah. Please. Well, absolutely. I mean, this is like, it is, I can show that to you. So the idea really is to have almost an unlimited number of connections to sources. So if we have a look, I mean, for instance, SNMP trap receiver, SMTP interface, or if we look, for instance, here at System Center Operations Manager, you can see that this is multi-instance. So we can literally run an abundance of third-party system instances that connect to our system and throw events on us. So in your scenario, we would connect to that kind of system center environment, and at the same time, we would open up another connection, for instance, via SMTP email or web service or command line interface to that local subsidiary that doesn't feed into SCOM but talks directly to us. So this is absolutely a basic principle of the product, to be open to a whole variety of systems that are out there. And the good thing is we don't license based on the number of connections we have from third-party systems. Because I know there are some vendors that kind of have that kind of principle. Number of managed and supervised nodes and things like that. Yeah. Does it answer the question? Sure. Yeah. Good. Anything else? Any further question? Yeah. If you have something, just you can also still come by to our booth down there, the beach one, and talk to us. All right. Good. Thanks a lot for coming by. Thank you.